And so here we are in the last month of the year. And this year we've been exploring the courage it takes to live a full spiritual life. And so each month our theme has been the courage to embody a spiritual principle. And this month it's the courage to have faith. You know, and I think that that's kind of the culmination of all the different things that we've been working on is guiding us to a place where we develop and step fully into what it means to live a life of faith. And so here we are moving into these winter holidays. We're coming up on the solstice. And I always remember what it must have been like back in the times of the ancient ones, when the sun went away, right? And it wasn't out very long. Now, of course, we live in Southern California and it's subtle here, right? It's been a little bit more because we, you know, those are my friends from the North and the Midwest that get my jokes about this. But here in Southern California, we have a whole lot more light even when it's the solstice, you know, than what they do in, let's say, Michigan, right? So it's dark in Michigan by noon. Sometimes, you know, but here we are. You know, so I think of the times of the ancient ones where they didn't know that the light was going to come back, right? Like they didn't realize that those dark times that they were experiencing in the days, never mind what was happening in their lives, you know, that those dark times were going to shift. They didn't realize that. You know, we live these lives where we know to, you know, basically to a T what time the sun's going to go down and when it's going to come up and when it's going to come back and when we're going to start to feel like our days are getting longer. But I think that there's something about the reason why that there are 35 holidays between November and January that have to do with light, right? The Christ child, which is the bringing light into the world. Hanukkah, you know, Diwali sometimes falls in this time. There's a number of them that happen. And the reason why that is because this is a time for us to step into our faith in knowing that no matter what, the light's going to come back, right? So I love that this month we're talking about the courage to have faith because it does take courage. It takes courage to be able to stand up for your belief when everything else around you is telling you that you're wrong. It takes courage to know what's true for you when someone else who loves you and knows you real well is telling you what you can and you can't do, right? Anybody ever have that one? Okay, am I the only one? Okay. You know, so all right, I'll own it. So there's an aspect of courage to this. And as we're stepping into, so that's the theme for the month, but as we're stepping in, truly stepping into the holiday season, I can't deny it's here. Right? I can't deny that the holidays aren't here yet. They are. So today, I'm talking about tidings of comfort and joy. And so this comes from the Christmas carol, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. And that song has been going through my head since September. I'm not lying. I don't know why. As you know, if you know me at all, I'm not a singer. I've been singing it in the shower, I've been singing it in the car, I've been singing it, and I am the person who on Thanksgiving, after the meal, I put the Christmas music on. That's how it works. It doesn't come on before, although this year I did find out that by October 31st, there were two radio stations in San Diego that were already on a 24/7 loop of Christmas music, you know, and I think it was because we kind of needed it a little early this year, maybe. People needed a little bit of that holiday cheer a little earlier, I don't know. But so for me, for that to be happening, I was like, okay, there's something in this. And the phrase, which I will read to you here, I'm not going to sing it, but I'll read to you, The tidings of comfort and joy kept going through my mind as an affirmation. And so this song is British in origin, and it was first published in the mid-19th century, but it dates back to the 16th century or earlier. So it's an old one, right? And so, God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day. To save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Okay. So, it reminds us that at the holiday time, that when we talk about Christmas specifically, it's really about remembering the truth. It's about the birth of the Christ child. Now, what that meant to us, again, is the birth of the light. It's the birth of the awareness. What we believe is that there's something called Christ consciousness. Christ was not Jesus' last name. It wasn't. Okay? Christ is a status of being, and it's a conscious awareness. It's a way of understanding God and our connection to the divine life. All right? So that we each have the potential and possibility of the Christ within us, we need to awaken to that. We need to embody it and realize that there is only one. And when we move into that understanding and we begin to build our life from that foundation, we too can become the Christ. I want to remind you, Jesus said, "These and greater things shall ye do. It is not I, but the Father within that doeth the works." He never said, "Hey, look at me, I'm the Christ. You know, celebrate me," you know. He was never like that. It was about what he came to remind us. And so the idea here is we go into this dark time, as we go into this period of darkness, whether it's darkness because the sun is going down early or because of what's happening out in the world or because of the politics of the day or the challenges that we're experiencing or the economy or whatever you want to talk about it, there's a darkness that can overtake us. And somehow at the holidays, everything gets amped up, right? But the birth of the Christ is about remembering that no matter what, the light's at the center of it. And that light's going to guide us, it's going to support us, and it's going to remind us of what's true. The second thing that this song does is it encourages us to realize the goodness of life. Tidings are good news. If someone says, "I've got tidings of whatever comes after that," it means it's good. Okay? So it comes from the story in Luke where the angels come to the shepherds in the field and they say, "I've got glad tidings of good news for you, for all that will be for all the world. For unto you on this day in the city of David is born a Savior." And so what we think of when we talk about the Savior is not that each of us needs to be saved by something outside of us. We don't think that salvation comes from worshiping or honoring any one figure. It's not about that. It's about waking up to the fact that God's alive as us, that we are directly connected to it, that Christ consciousness is possible and it's alive within us. And as we put our attention upon that, as we put our attention upon the fact that we are that divine made manifest, we are an aspect of God, then it starts to expand. It starts to reveal itself in our experience and it shows up in a powerful way. And so what I love about this song is it's reminding us that the holidays are about waking up, okay? Remember that this is what this is really all about. And it's all about experiencing the goodness of life, which is the comfort and the joy. And so, you know, this is one of those songs that as New Thoughters we don't like. I'll tell you, as New Thoughters, you know, religious scientists in the New Thought world, it's one that we kind of take a step back from, because when people get lit up on the idea that we need a savior, right? Because it's kind of on the surface, it looks like it's opposite of what we believe, and anything that has the word Satan in it, right, is not something that religious scientists like. They don't want to. I'm not singing that song. I won't sing that song. I have to change those words, you know. But what I find is that there's power in these traditional songs, and there's meaning for us, right? So I did a little bit of deeper research to look into how this really can support us. It's, again, a perfect reminder for what's important in the season. And so, you know, it's calling us to not get sucked into the illusion of the holidays. And that's my goal for you. You know, I had an interesting couple weeks here. But what I do is on Thanksgiving, we always have this lovely time on Thanksgiving. I go to this big party. It usually has 80 people. This year, because of the rain, it had only 50, right? And my family loves this party that we go to. And what happens is that they have this beautiful dinner. It's this lovely extended family. And they've embraced us over the last 10 years of being there. And so it's really fun. And then it's so fun. There's like a bingo game for 50 people with prizes, right? And so my family's all about the prizes. and all about the bingo. So we like went home with, I went home with a full set of Young Living essential oils, and I went home with a badminton set, with a full-size badminton set, and a planter box, and I was like, oh, you know, and every time, because every time you win a round, you get to go and pick a prize, you know, and so there, I'm like walking out of Thanksgiving, I'm like, I win Thanksgiving, you know, but anyways, so what happens is we come home from our fun Thanksgiving, and I sit at night, and I set my intentions for the holiday season. So I do my own meditation as I'm going to bed after Thanksgiving, and I spend some time contemplating what's coming up. I look at what the schedule's going to look like for the next month and some of the highlights of what's coming up and the things that I love about the holiday season. And then I set an intention for myself. And so this year it was to move through with grace, with ease, and with joy. And so I went to bed thinking, okay, I'm going to move through this holiday with grace, with ease, and with joy. And there's two things I love about the universe. One is that it supports us. It's for us. It is for you. I know that. It's for me. I know the universe is for you. So it's going to bring you what you need. And so I know that as I make my declaration, the universe is going to support me in getting there. And the second thing I love about the universe is that it's got a sense of humor. Because sometimes it's means to an end. It'll get you where you need to go. But it's got a sense of humor about it. And so what it does is it supports us in our belief so much that it will find that tiny little crack of doubt in the center of your being and amplify it so much that it shows you, do you really believe it's going to be peace and grace and joy? or do you think it's going to be stress and overwhelm and insanity? And so the universe this week gave me that, which was very fun. And so here I am finishing Thanksgiving in that wonderful sense, and I set my intentions, and then I move into a 10-day period when I felt like I was running with my hair on fire for every day, you know? And things popped up on my schedule that weren't there before. I thought I was as planned as I possibly could be in a very busy time, and then, you know, never mind the rain came, but then things flooded and people didn't show up and all sorts of craziness was happening to the point where I said, wait a minute, I stopped the other day and I stamped my foot like a little kid and said, wait, I said peace and grace and joy and it's got to show up now, right? And so all I hear in the back of my head is the part that says, to save us all from Satan's power when we have gone astray. And I was like, oh, maybe there is something to that Satan thing because I don't know what's going on here, right? So as I was doing my research for it, I went to, again, where some are uncomfortable with the idea of Satan, but the idea that Satan as a persona, as a fully formed being of evil, does not exist. And so when I went to find out a little bit, I found this information from Unity that I thought was really great, and it's called The Scoop on Satan. I thought I'd share the scoop on Satan with you. So the name Satan is not often used in the Bible. The term devil is more common. They refer to an embodiment of evil, a focal point for fear-based thoughts and beliefs that strive to contradict our relationship to the divine. The familiar story of Satan as an archangel thrown out of heaven for leading a rebellion against God is not found in the Bible. It has its source in a variety of non-scriptural Hebrew legends and folktales. In Hebrew scriptures, the term Satan is taken to mean adversary and refers to both human and spiritual entities who sometimes seem to stand in the way of our spiritual purpose. There is no doubt that there's a great power attached to the negative, fear-based thoughts we have accumulated in our collective consciousness. You don't have to give that power a name to realize the obstacle it can create. But it is not a power opposite to God. There can be no power opposite to a divinity we define as omnipotence. It is an illusion we have created, and it has only as much power as we give it through our ignorance of our oneness with God. And as we learn the truth about that oneness, the ignorance fades, as does the apparent power we've created out of that ignorance. So basically what it's saying is that the world of effects, the fear-based consciousness of the masses, the limited sense of life that so many believe in and exist within, is what the song is referring to when it talks about Satan's power and the fact that we've gone astray. And so what I, you know, one of the things that I try to strive in sharing these things with you is that I need our spirituality to be real and relevant, okay? So as we are walking into this holiday season, or we're walking through it already, what my best knowing and wish for each of us is that we don't let the idea, the world of illusion, to get in our way of stepping into that feeling of comfort and joy. To allow for our expectations, the ideas that people have about what we should be doing or what it's supposed to look like at the holidays, you know. Again, I'm going to caution us all. I think Pinterest is heaven and hell put together. Right, you know, reading Martha Stewart's magazines about how she decorates her house is nice, but you can't, like, hold it up to yours and go, oh, I got work to do, you know what I mean? Staying up all night to do handmade gifts for people, you know, giving up your well-being and your rest and who you are for something that, you know, is not worth it. We need to be able to realize, to see through the illusion of expectation and the illusion of what we think needs to happen into what's true. And what's true here is that the idea is that the holidays are times to connect in a different way. We're called in the holidays, something happens, right? Our hearts open a little bit more. That there's this, that we get out of our own way and start to be a little bit more concerned about the people who are in need. That we want to do something to help those others a little bit more. That there's some softening that happens around the holidays, and that there's this sweet essence and spirit that comes forth, right? That's the most important thing. When we start to say, okay, I need to give big, lavish, wonderful gifts and show up really, you know, show up at the potluck and the gift exchange with something from Tiffany's, you know, that's not putting yourself out, going broke, giving up your health and well-being and your mental balance for somebody else's benefit isn't a gift. It's not a gift. It's just perpetuating that divine idea of what expectations should be. And so what I want for each of us is to walk into this realizing that experience of comfort and joy is the truth of the season. And so when I think about comfort and I think about that gift of comfort at the holidays, for me, it's, you know, maybe it's about baking something that you learned from your family, right? For me, it's my baklava and my spanakopita from my grandmother, my Greek yaya, you know. Maybe it's a memory of making cookies with your mom. Maybe it's going to buy a Christmas tree with your dad. Maybe it's frying up latkes at Hanukkah, you know. Maybe it's with your family. Whatever that comfort is, and I realize that most of those have to do with food, so I encourage you to get into Dr. Victoria's mindful eating class, if that's because maybe I should think about doing that myself. I just heard myself say, that's all food stuff. But you know, but that's kind of the kinds of things that we do when decorating the Christmas tree and taking out all of the ornaments and reminiscing about where they came from. So there's a comfort in our traditions, and there's a comfort in creating traditions. And so maybe you don't have the same things that you had as a child, or maybe your family wasn't into that, or maybe that's not something that speaks to you. But you get to create them yourself. You get to create, even if you are alone, living alone, doing whatever in your life, maybe you get to create a new tradition for yourself about what brings comfort and peace at the holidays. So I think that idea of comfort shows up, right? The other thing that I love to do at the holidays that gets me in the mood for Christmas is watching It's a Wonderful Life, right? When I sit down and I watch It's a Wonderful Life, I'm there, right? I plan to do that this week, that it's time to sit down and be we're fully decorated now, I'm fully ready, I'm set for our holiday services, and now it's time to experience the holiday. But it gets busy, and we get pulled off of our idea of this. But I have glad tidings of great joy for you, that you have the opportunity to create what you want at the holidays, because it's about choice. It's about being conscious, being awake, and choosing what is important to you. And so as I have set my intention to go through with grace, with peace, and with joy, I invite you to set your intention of what your holidays will be like. I know it's a simple thing, and everybody's heard it, and oh yeah, whatever, she's talking about that set an intention thing again. But the important thing is to pause and to actually set it, and to share it with someone that you love, so that you're on the same page, so you can acknowledge their intention, and they can support you in yours. And so when you get off, right, when we go astray, that you can support each other in stepping back into what's true. And that's where the joy is. There's joy in the times that we come together. There's joy in having a giving heart. There's joy in being generous. There's joy in pausing and having a deeper conversation. Something about connecting with our beloveds in a deeper way. And this is a time when we come together with those friends maybe we don't see during the year. And maybe we find time for it. But I'll tell you, it's so easy to get on that hamster wheel, that roller coaster of our schedules, and miss even the fun. We may be at an event, but you may not remember anything of it, right? Because it takes so much to get there. And then being in the middle of it and then thinking about what's coming next. And so there's what a lot of people talk about, that this is a time of high stress, that the stress just steps up and amps up and amps up and amps up. And even though we spend more time together in community with our loved ones and our friends and all of these events that go on at the holiday time, some people report being more lonely, even when they're in a room filled with people. And so my wish for us is that we step into a place of being present where we are, able to open those hearts and connect in a deep way, to allow for the love that is the truth of the season to be shared. There's no need for us to, God, I just think about the Costco parking lot on the weekend. Ugh, I need to go to Costco, right? Like, even just doing that, it'll pull you off your center. It'll pull you into a place of not being able to stay centered. So in terms of sharing what's gone on with me since I've seen you at Thanksgiving, this was my daughter's Nutcracker performance week. So my daughter's a dancer, and she was in the Nutcracker yesterday. It was lovely. It all went fine. And I'm a planner, and I have my schedule on my phone, and I know everything that's going to happen, and I was planned to the minute this past week. But it was everything that I look at my schedule all the time, and I say, is this stuff that's going to be fun for me? And anything that's really not fun for me, I take it off my calendar, right? And so I did not take the board meeting off my calendar. My board meeting is still on the calendar next week. But so anyway, so this week, since we were getting ready for it, so there were tech rehearsals, and then there was a dress rehearsal, and then there was and we had some other things going on at the center that I had to take care of, and then in the middle of it, my daughter had a choir concert on her one off night last week. She had a choir concert, and then she turned 12. On Friday. And then we had performances all day yesterday. So it was busy time, right? And every single thing was really fun, and it was really great. But every event I went to, there was this voice. I think of them as angels, right? There is these people that were coming into my circle here that were that universe that's laughing in my ear, right? Because I went to the choir concert, and I was having a chat with one of the other moms, and I was saying how excited I am for the holidays. How are you doing? She's like, I can't believe it. I'm never going to get this done. And I was like, oh my goodness, what's going on? And she said, I still have 4 presents to wrap. I haven't started shopping yet. And she's like, oh my God, what are you going to do? You know, and I'm like, I think I'm going to get on Amazon. You know, like, okay, you know. And so there was that angel that was saying, okay, you're late. You better hurry up, you know. And then I went to drop Emily off for her rehearsal or her warm up to get ready for the show. To get, you know, I had to do her makeup in the middle of all of that. And one of the other moms was like, "You didn't do that makeup right. that makeup's not done right. You didn't do that makeup right. What? Wait, she can't go on stage like that, you know? And I was like, wait a minute, I did it right, I did it right, no, I did it right. I swear I did it right, you know? And so these people, every single place I went, I felt like I was swimming in Jell-O, right? Like I felt like I was trying to get through. And of course it's raining, and of course it's the Fallbrook Christmas parade. And so I go to get her flowers, because when someone's in a dance performance, you bring them flowers. And I wanted to do something big and beautiful, because it's a Nutcracker, and so something with holiday theme and all of that. So I went to our local flower shop, and I talked to the woman, and I ordered it, and I said, okay, and we were trying to work out the time to pick it up, because if I went down into downtown Fallbrook yesterday afternoon after 3 o'clock, you can't go anywhere. There's no, because it's the middle of the Christmas parade, like, I wouldn't be able to get there. And so I said, okay, I need to pick them up at 1:30, and then I have to be at the show at 2 o'clock, and so just so you know, I'll be here at 1:30, and thank you very much. So I walk in at 1:25, and the woman is like, oh, Catherine's back. I haven't even started your flowers yet. And that was it. I had had it. After a whole week of this, I had had it. I was done. I was like, okay, I'm going to go get a snack. You do my flowers. And I turn around, and of course, Dr. Victoria, I really should be in your eating thing, in your eating class. But so I went, and I went to get some iced tea, and I got snacks, and I bought them, and I said, I walked in there, and I was like going to flip. I mean, I really was just going to flip. And yes, I'm human, and I lose it. And yes, it happens. When you push me to my edge, I have an edge, and she was pushing me over it, right? Because I was not going to miss the curtain, because my daughter's in the first act of the thing, and I'm not going to miss it, right? And so I sit down, and I just, here and out of like right around here, I hear laughter, and I was like, God is laughing at me. I was like, okay, all right, what do you want me to do? And I heard the words, do your work, just do your work. And so I sat there and I realized, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do. What am I going to do? Am I going to rail at this woman who's been working her tail off at the holidays in the middle of the Christmas parade downtown Fallbrook trying to get me what I need? Or am I just going to figure out that, remember, that the universe is for me and that everything is working out for my highest good? And I'll tell you, there have been times when that question has been posed to me and I choose wrongly. Right? There have been times I do that. And I sat down and I did, and I took a breath and I remembered my Christmas affirmation. And I just said, okay, there's something in this and I know it's going to be fine. So 4 minutes later, she had this gorgeous, beautiful white roses and red carnations and boughs and beautiful, beautiful flowers for me. So I walked out. I felt like Miss America walking out of Major Market with my flowers. And I get into the car, and in the rain, I get through the traffic, and someone had just spun out. I said a prayer for them, and we kind of went around them. And I got there, and I drove up to the theater. And as I drove up, the person in the front parking spot pulled out. And I pulled in. And I walked straight in without getting wet, and I was 15 minutes early. Of course I was, right? Like, that's so usual, right? And so I was like, okay, I learned my lesson. Thank you, God. Comfort and joy. There's comfort and joy. And I was giddy when I walked into that theater that day, you know? I was giddy with the fact that, you should have had a V8. You know, I could have had a V8 thing. I was like, oh, right. Courage to have faith in God, right? That's what we're doing. That's what we're walking through. And so I share that with you because what I want for you is I want you to have that grace. I want to remind you that you have this force that loves you so much that's going to guide you through this time. I want to remind you that this holiday is really about experiencing the comfort and the joy that is not only the truth of the possible experience, but it's the truth of you. And so we know that we can't find those things from the outside. Baklava is not going to bring me comfort at all, right? Watching a movie is not going to make me feel any better unless I can connect to the truth of that within me first. And so we need to find the place within us where there is comfort, to know that there's a there's a presence and a power that loves you so much that no matter what you're walking through, and please realize that I know that these are the lightest trials and tribulations that I've had in a long time, that I can laugh at myself about it, but my stress is really about silly things, and I know that people are dealing with very challenging, difficult moments in their lives. But no matter whether it's something that's as silly as trying to navigate getting flowers for your kid or and surviving a week, or it's a health diagnosis or a loss of a job or a financial challenge or a difficulty in your relationship, I know that wherever you are on that spectrum, that there is a power and a presence that loves you so much that wants to bring you comfort. No matter whether it's December or whether it's July. That it loves you so much that it wants to support you and it will be there for you through anything that you walk through. And not only will there be comfort there for you, not only is there support there for you, but there is joy in this life. We push away the experience of our own joy because we're supposed to make other people happy. Or we push away that because we think that we're supposed to show up in a certain way. And maybe the things that bring you great joy are not the same things that other people around you like. But you get to have that because it's the divine spark within you that is inspiring you to want it. And so if there's something that's going to bring you great joy, if there's something that's going to connect you to that presence, that power, that love that is alive and especially sparkly in this season of the holidays, I encourage you to include it in your life. I encourage you to give yourself the time to figure out what it is that you truly want, what it is that will feed and nurture your soul. And in those moments, and I have to admit it, it just gets busy. There's more stuff now. There just is. This is a powerful, fun, glorious time, and it's busy and it's stressful. And I want to encourage you to make that affirmation for yourself. Find something that you can say over and over again to yourself to bring you back to center, to gently guide you when you have gone astray, when the illusion of the world has sucked you into what you're supposed to be doing. One of the other things that happens for me every Christmas is that I'm very planned about my shopping. I'm very specific. I have a budget. I'm very careful. I'm very thoughtful about what I'm buying for our family and our circles and everything. And then something happens around the 18th or 19th that I just start, it's like I just start bleeding money, right? Like I'm like, no, they need this, and oh, I need that, and no, did you see this on Facebook? Why am I shopping on Facebook now? Like I am that person that they love because I'm like, hit it, oh yeah, cute T-shirt, hit it, family, okay, oh look at that hat, I need that for so and so, you know. And so something happens around the 19th that I just start hemorrhaging finances to try and make sure I have all the presents that I think I need. I'm not doing that this year. Around the 19th, someone come in and remind me, okay? So so I think what happens is we get swept up in the energy and the stress of all of that, and it just takes us, and then all of a sudden we're overwhelmed. You do not need to give up your well-being, your finances, and your health to make somebody else happy at the holidays. Never mind, ever. You never need to do that. But especially at the holidays. And so when we get into those moments of stress, I want you to have that affirmation. I want you to choose it for yourself of setting your intention of what it is that you want to experience this holiday. And the second thing I want to tell you is that there is an exercise that you can do in the middle of that, of any stress, that's going to support you in coming back to your center. And it's called breathing. When we come back to our breath, when we pause and take the time to do some conscious breathing, within a couple of moments, you can bring yourself back onto center. And so I found a cute little video here that I'm going to explain it first. And I'm going to put this up on our Facebook. It's a YouTube link, and I'm going to encourage you to copy for those of you who are technologically can understand this. I'm going to encourage you to copy it onto your smartphone so that whenever you get into one of those moments, you can do this. Because this is a really lovely reminder of what it means to breathe fully and gently, and within just a couple of moments, it'll bring you back on center. So this is a series, you may have seen it go around a couple weeks ago, but this is a series of shapes that as it gets bigger, you breathe in, and as it gets smaller, you breathe out. Okay, so we're going to practice this, and we're going to do this for just about a minute. So I want you to close your eyes first. Just take a breath. Centering into this moment. And we're just going to practice for about a minute. So you can gently open your eyes, and we can start our video here. And so as it gets bigger, you breathe in. And as it gets smaller, you breathe out. Again, breathing in. And one more time. Right? See? Isn't that great? Isn't that great? It'll just remind you to slow down, to pause. And when we breathe, we connect with the spirit. It's what keeps us alive. And every time we do conscious breathing, we focus on that divine truth of our life, of who we are. And so I encourage you, as we move through this holidays, to remember that the tidings of comfort and joy are here for you. It's the divine Christ consciousness wanting to be born in you. And the universe is going to lean in to support you in creating what you want. And as we remember sometimes that that little trickster of a universe is going to kind of fool around with us a little bit. And if we connect with that constant breath that keeps us alive, we can navigate it with comfort, with joy, with peace, and with grace. And that's my holiday wish for you. And so it is. And so, John Fultz.